The sun is out and their blockade is legal.
There's the blockade.
Join Robin, Sean, Andrew, Jalen right now.
This is Admiral Raddus of the Rebel Alliance. Call up the Brick City Blockade, AP5.
Hey, what's going on?
What is all this? We got a new intro.
Is this new?
Everything now.
This is like season two of a new show.
This is like three at this point.
Season three.
With how many breaks we've taken, we're out of like season four.
Hey, season four might be our best one yet.
Think about
it. It goes downhill from there.
It took us almost 10 years to get to this point.
Where Let's go.
We've got background.
Two years until the podcast is over. Ooh.
Maybe somebody can check it for me here. I know for the audio listeners, it may not work. But I believe we're also live on Twitter and we're also live on Instagram right now, which is pretty cool.
I will go and check.
I hope so, because we tried it before.
We are not live on Instagram.
Oh! But I think we're live on Twitter, which is good. I think I just got a
Are we? I'm checking.
How do you see if you're live on Twitter?
So if you go to the Brick City Blockade, this is for everybody who's listening.
Hey,
celebration!
Wait, it says listen now.
Well, Sean, don't do that. There'll be an interruption.
Don't do that. There's a Sith Lord in the background.
There she is.
There's a Sith Lord right here. I know. There's Shaylin, folks. She's here.
Hello.
Congrats on the new car.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. I know. Super, super duper excited.
It was very
You don't have to ride Robin anymore.
No, that's very true.
Well, Robin has to ride you now, so.
For anybody who doesn't know, this is usually how the podcast goes. Usually how it
goes. Hello there.
Let's just go right into it.
That was how at PAX. That's what it was.
That's the thing that I love is nothing has changed.
No, nothing has changed whatsoever. That's Andrew Garish, Commander Nerd. Andrew, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing great. We got new Bad Batch. We got new X-Men 97 episode. Phantom Menace, we got PAX East, we got the convention you and Sean went to that was not that good.
Just calling out right there.
Oops. Okay, Andrew, just going right at it.
I wasn't there, so I can't confirm whether it was good.
That's fair. Mr. Sean Michaud down there.
Down here.
Yeah, down there. How's it going?
Bottom.
It's a night. It's a good night, though.
It's a very good night, for sure. So if any of you were following along, whether that was through Commander Nerd Andrew's vlog that he did for PAX East or our lack of vlog that we promised but was not there.
So disappointed.
So disappointing. I know.
So disappointing.
But folks,
then again, you guys aren't really the vlogging type. You're more...
It's the behind-the-scenes
stuff, the interviews and everything.
We live stream. We don't.
Fan Expo. If you don't vlog.
We will have a vlog.
I will leave Brixie. I'm kidding.
Whoa! I'm not clapping for that. Sean, don't clap for that. Aw, jeez.
Dick.
Someone has to clap for something.
Gifted you Kit Fisto's lightsaber for your birthday.
He did.
It's true. I applaud for that.
Good.
For what?
For Kit Fisto's lightsaber.
Are you not listening, Robin?
No, I was listening.
He doesn't listen. He's
a cat trying to get into a suitcase. So there's also that, too. Yeah. But there's other things that we could be talking about. Andrew, don't even. I saw that place. I know that
I said secret tunnel.
Secret tunnel. There was a secret tunnel
at PAX.
There was. So let's get into some PAX talk here, guys. Because not only was it the first time that Sean, myself, Andrew, Renee, Shaylin, we all got together to go to a convention.
And Gonzo. Don't forget Gonzo.
That's true. We got to be. Hey, big shout out to Gonzo. Great to see you there, Gonzo. Great pleasure to meet you. Fantastic time in terms of like trying out board games, getting to walk around. Do stuff like that.
We got a lot of steps in.
I know. I looked at my Apple Watch after, and I'm like, wow, I'm that fat. Okay.
You and me both, Robin. You and me both.
I can't say anything.
Andrew, what were your big takeaways from PAX East this year? I mean, it's the first time I've ever been. It's the first time you've ever been. Like,
yes, we brought PAX virginity together. It was great.
There we go. See, that, yeah.
Yeah.
Considering, like, how big of a convention it is, I'm surprised with how much space there was.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this is only my perspective of it.
Sure.
I was a little underwhelmed, to be completely honest.
That's fair.
Mostly because from what I've seen of past, like, PAX East conventions and stuff like that. Granted, yeah, it's great that a lot of these indie games are getting their limelight and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it felt like it was missing something with, like, Xbox not being there, PlayStation not being there, nothing Nintendo there, except, like, Street Fighter and whatever else. But it's like, it was the overall experience getting to hang out with you guys again and just vibing and having a good time. I didn't spell too many people with BO yet. But overall, I enjoyed it with you guys. That was the main thing I took away. I would say if I were to do it again, I would just do the one day because I felt like I saw everything all in one day. Yeah. The other thing, if you are planning on getting merch, be ready to spend your entire day in line.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean, what were your big takeaways from PAX East?
Same thing with Andrew, spending time with all of you guys.
Thanks, Sean.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
But like Andrew said, it was very. I mean, it was a lot of fun, but like I feel like I didn't get enough experience at all out of it.
Right.
Like there's stuff that I would want to do, but like everyone was in line waiting for things like. Just even just play a demo of a game, just like a small indie game. I expected to go to PAX to play some, try some video games. That's what PAX was, is. But in hindsight, that didn't happen at my experience.
Like, I feel like if we were to try and wait in line for any of the games, we would have been waiting basically all day.
I feel like we would have to do more than just having that one day. And experience more than a couple days to experience the game, playing the games instead of.
I also do think we're more used to the Comic Cons and stuff like that, and not so much a gaming convention. If you know what I mean, like they're completely different. Like, there's nothing bad about PAX East. It was a great time. But I do feel like there could have been more of a presence of other games and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it was a very interesting scenario, too, for Reed Pop, for the PAX East crew, because so many of the big game companies decided to bow out and do their own thing, which makes sense. I mean, in the world that we have of Disney doing D23 and a lot of these companies, Apple, and Samsung and all of these other companies that want to go off and do their own conventions, it makes sense. The one thing that did come from PAX East is my biggest takeaway, and actually it was the PAX East crew that shared this out across social media following the last day of PAX East, was they didn't highlight necessarily any of the video game companies there, the indie artists. They actually put out a whole thing that talked about how the board games were probably one of the most popular spaces. Inside they were talking about the board game library in the back of the convention center and how many copies of brand new games that nobody has heard of were checked out across the weekend. Fire Tower, Sean.
Yes.
The one that we sat in on was the most popular indie game at PAX East.
One of the highlights of the my time, I think, ending off and playing Fire Tower.
So here's my question to both of you. Is PAX East starting to head more towards, okay, for those who are into indie gaming and finding new games and exploring new games, are willing to stay in line for that because they know they're going to stay a couple days or 3 days or 4 days in Boston for this convention to do coverage.
Boston.
Or is it worthwhile for you to just get the 1 day pass or a 2 day pass and explore the indie board games like the Japanese game?
Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah, it
so
was.
So cool. So where do you think this is going? Do you think PAX East is heading more towards the indie game developers, like board game developers?
Indie game, tabletop realm.
Just everything.
So much D&D stuff that I saw there. So much.
I didn't expect that for a
like
gaming.
Like the giant D20 on. That I bought because I rolled a natural 20 on it.
That was really, really
which cool. I did take that to work the next day, and people were like, what the fuck?
but also seeing Wormwood there, with all the gaming desk and then the D&D table, which is so nice, but super expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a price point thing here too, I think, that you have to kind of look at as well. Yeah. It's like, you got to go in there. If like Wormwood selling those desks, like Shaylin and I are like, oh my goodness, we'd love to have this in the office. You know, Andrew and Sean, we stood there and we were like, okay, how much would it be for a base model for us to kind of build from? But you have to go into that with thousands of dollars ready to drop in most cases. And I think for PAX East goers, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, on this. It seems like it's heading more towards the let's cosplay and go play at panels and bring our Switches and bring our consoles and game with each other kind of event. Yeah. Then it is a featured event.
It could be a way for those who are more introverted to eventually get out of their shells and meet new people or even just game together.
Sure.
Yeah. Which honestly, I'm all for. Like me, when I was younger, I was more introverted. I hated being around people.
Yeah.
Now I don't know what the fuck happened. I love being around you guys.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. But yeah, I could see more of a tabletop / indie game focus point for next year.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. Is it going to be at the Heinz next year, or what are they going to do?
Right, because of the convention center and all the work they're going to be doing.
Oh, also, there was a fire on the last day of PAX East as well. I
didn't know that.
I don't know if it was at the convention center or it was in the hotel.
Oh no! But
yeah, there was a fire.
No. Yeah,
Brick City Blockade left the place on fire.
We left it.
We left.
Fire is what happened.
We left it on fire.
We shouldn't have played Fire Tower.
We shouldn't have played Fire Tower. Should not have done that whatsoever.
We never played Star Wars Trivial Pursuit. I didn't even know that was even there.
Trivial Pursuit?
Yeah. I played that so much when I was a kid.
Yeah. The Holonet Martyrs folks, they took a picture of the Trivial Pursuit. I'm like, oh, man.
But overall, it was a blast.
It was so tiring though. After
we're all in our 30s now. Well, me and Robin are, but
Sean's
I'm working on it. No, but like compared to,
I feel like Robin and I were feeling it a little bit more the next day.
compared to.
You guys went to another convention the day after. What the fuck am I talking about? You guys were fine.
Yeah, well, compared to Fan Expo, I thought PAX East was even more tiring for some reason.
It did seem like it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because with Fan Expo, we had the option of going back to a hotel room in both cases.
But then again, we were carrying our luggages around, so right.
I don't even know
how that made sense.
Balance. Yeah, that's true. That's
also
true.
The thing about PAX, they get with the coat room and the luggage area. Fan Expo has got to do that this upcoming.
Well, it's got to be in the summer. You don't need a coat.
No, I mean for like suitcases.
What do you need a suitcase for?
Cosplays.
Cosplayers. People staying in hotels, checking out, still want to do the day like us. Yeah.
No, Sean's right. Like there's definitely some perks that PAX East did really well. The overall spread out, and by the way, the check-in system at the front of the convention center was
so easy.
Flawless.
Yeah.
Flawless. I have never gone into a convention and been able to pick up my press pass that easy. It was so easy.
Like it was crazy.
So like, good.
If it was the first day, it might have been a little bit more crazy, maybe.
Fan Expo made us walk so far to get our passes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Was it at the convention center last year, too?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was even at the center. You had to go all the way around and stuff.
Interesting.
And
it was. I think Fan Expo started at the Heinz.
It did. I was told that this past weekend from.
So it's kind of returning to its roots a little bit with this year.
It is. Yeah. It is. And a lot of folks are a little bit concerned about how much Fan Expo has grown. And will that translate well now back to the Heinz?
I mean, the Heinz is a pretty big location.
It is. But I think that specifically when I was talking to like the Rebel Legion crew and the 501st, they were more concerned about their setups and getting equipment in and getting cosplayers in and out. And how that would work.
It's a busy place, I think.
It is a busy place, but I mean, Anime Boston has been doing it there ever since it started. And it's just gotten bigger and bigger over the years. So I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Maybe.
the Friday we walk in there and are like, okay, guys, here we are. And it's like,
we'll have a great time.
Or, you know,
are we bringing our lightsabers, though, is the question.
I'm going to bring a hilt. I'm going to bring lightsabers. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean.
Switch it up each day.
Because I think I will, by that time, I will have Sabine's Black Series lightsaber, which I'll probably wear as like a cosplay piece. But the one that I'm bringing is going to be this brand new one that I have.
Oh, that one's pretty. Ooh. Which one is that?
I don't know. I got out of Amazon. I thought it looked cool.
So like a true Star Wars fan, oh, that's a really cool hilt. I'm going to get that.
I mean, It literally looks like one that would be from like the High Republic or something like that. So
yeah, it does. It has that
kind of. It's got windows. It's got like 12 sound fonts. It's got like 8 colors.
That's incredible. That's awesome. Yeah. So I guess we'll see what happens with PAX East. Sean, you and I the next day went over to the New England Toy and Record Show here, which, by the way, you know, it's a very small convention. I think we're so used to doing the big conventions over multiple days that when we're plopped down on a couch and told, hey, you know, you can talk to so-and-so and do this and do that. Mm-hmm. It was an adjustment for us. But, Sean, I have to say, it's so good to see Chris Letty from Newport.
And we saw R.W. Martin as well, which is cool to see him.
Yeah. We saw Nick McCombie.
Yeah, Nick as well.
Nick was there, so that was good. But it was a very different.
Was he Nick McCombie or was he Gundy Kenobi?
We never got confirmation. I said when he walked in the door, I was like, "Hey, it's Gundy Kenobi," and he never answered me on it.
Oh, so he was Nick.
So are we doing a new canon? Are we got a new character, Nick? If you're watching, listening, which you probably are, which character was that? I'm actually curious. Is this were you Gundy Kenobi's? Was grandfather what was his name? I can't come off the top of my head, but you know, which character were you? We'd like to know if you're listening. But it was fun getting to see some familiar faces. Sean picked up records. He shared it on live
stream. I mean, it was cool to see all this stuff, we're doing that for 5 hours. Yeah. I could not go over the limit of that. It was. Yeah. I mean, after coming after PAX, but like, yeah, I don't know. It was some parts of it were rough.
Yeah, but I would say.
If you want to elaborate, we don't have to elaborate it, but.
No, but it's a really great. So what we said on the live stream for you guys can go back and watch it over on Facebook, over on Instagram. One of the things Sean and I talked about specifically was, you know, it's really good for the folks who live in the community and are like, oh my goodness, there's actors and actresses from Star Wars in my backyard. It's really good for that, for the folks who can't afford to go to the big conventions and see folks. So I will give a lot of big shout out to Dominic for being able to put that together. That's really cool. It feels like that local kind of convention that we grew up going to, or the local event that was at the Elks Lodge that, you know, brought in a couple special guests, whatever else. It did have that feel, and Dominic's got something going there for sure. I'm not saying that there isn't, but for the podcast, for a lot of folks, it's kind of like, okay, really cool to be at, fantastic to support, but it is a long day following PAX East. I will say that having back-to-back like that is quite a bit.
We got a couple of comments.
Hey, yeah, Tony's here.
Mr. Tony. We got Catherine has a question.
Hey, let's see. Are you going to Anime Boston? My son Alex will be running the DDR games. I don't have any plans on going to Anime
Boston. I'm not going to Anime Boston. I haven't really been in years. I'd love to go again, but
that's actually that's this weekend, actually.
Is it? Yeah.
But yeah, we won't be able to make it.
No.
Definitely won't be able to make it.
Maybe press next
passes
year.
For Anime Bus. Let's go.
Guys, hey, I don't know.
Star Wars Visions. I was gonna say Star Wars Visions.
That's anime. True.
There is Star Wars Visions. You are correct. You are absolutely correct on that.
I usually am.
But, you know, yeah, no, especially
50% of the time.
Weekend. Sean, are you making comments?
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. I just want to be sure. No, it was a really great time overall. You know, for the weekend it was tiring, but PAX East was a real blast. And you know, I do recommend it for anybody who hasn't experienced it. Go for a day, get your feet wet. You know, get to see what the games are like, get to try some of them throughout the day, get to know who the creators are. Andrew, oh my goodness, I see where you're going with that. But it's a really great experience if it's your first time. Just go and do PAX East and really enjoy it that way. And we do recommend that. So take that.
Especially, it's a great way to meet new friends.
It is.
Guys, honestly, mine and Robin's first actual meeting was at Fan Expo Boston 2018.
That's right.
That was the first time him and I met, and it's gone downhill ever since.
As you guys can tell,
absolutely hate each other. We can't stand each other.
Just like me and Rob in high school. So
that's very true. Absolutely Rob
was kind of a dink from what it looked like.
I was a dink in high school. I will say
he was.
He had that douchebag haircut. He thought his shit didn't stink.
He pushed me downstairs.
I don't know about that. I think that's physically impossible.
You did push me down the stairs one time.
When did I do that?
He knew what the Rock was cooking.
I did know what the Rock was cooking. I will say that. Load of BS is what he was cooking at the time.
Just kidding. You knew it. I love you.
Bro. No, I was gonna say that's I'd have to remember that moment, but
unless you tripped me, but
Oops.
So guys, I mean, fantastic stuff happened at the conventions, of course, but today we finally got the next episode of The Bad Batch.
Should we give a brief review of the last episode before this one?
No, I think people were able to go through and hear our review of the last one.
I wasn't the biggest fan of last week's episode.
Right.
This week, it was 1,000 times better.
I started watching the episode before that one, and I forgot I watched it, and halfway through, I was like, wait, did I watch this already?
Did I already see this?
Did I see this? And then I was like, oh, I did.
Yeah, this week's episode did everything that I was hoping it was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, listen, the way that they introduced Andrew, this was a big thing for you. Mm-hmm. The way that they introduced Asajj into the story, that Omega just stumbles upon this ship that has landed in the cavern that she always goes into, and is like, wait, hold on, you know, something is off here.
Yeah.
And we see Asajj come out with her. And it's like that moment of, okay, right? It wasn't a huge reveal. We knew it was coming. It was teased for over a week now that it was coming.
Yeah, we knew after Fennec Shan said that.
But
everyone knew that.
The way that Filoni did it, it felt like what we always say. He takes a character off the shelf and reintroduces them to us. It was done perfectly. And then Hunter and Wrecker and Crosshair figuring out who she was and being like, No. This is not in our playbook. This is not what we want happening, and we want her nowhere around Omega. You know,
but really, you know, Omega's like, I'll trust her.
Yeah, see, that's the thing with Omega is she finds,
I mean, she trusted, she trusted Crosshair.
Yeah,
so and that's what not? She said. She's like, I never gave up on you.
Yeah,
which was a great line. And then he just kind of realized, like, oh shit, she's right. She's right. I never gave up. Andrew, for you, the introduction of Asajj here, and then watching her work with Omega to try to tap into the Force was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really enjoyed how they did Ventress, especially because I said before any of this started, when we did the trailer reaction, when I saw her in there, I'm okay with how they're doing it, making it different from Dark Disciple, because that was originally how she quote unquote died.
Right.
Judging by what she says at the end, who knows what happened there? But overall, I like that she didn't outright go for her lightsaber when they were trying to fight her.
Right.
One, it shows that
I want her lightsaber.
What?
I want her lightsaber.
Yes, I want her lightsaber. It's really cool.
Yeah. Well, it's her red one, just it's yellow now.
Yeah.
That's a whole
thing. It's great. And I like that she wasn't trying to hurt them until they pushed her to the point where it's like, all right, I'm going to force choke you, have my lightsaber towards you. Yeah. She basically knocked out Wrecker.
Yeah. Which, I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, of all the people, like, that's the one.
Of the
characters.
She felt the same, but also more mature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And seeing her teach Omega about the Force, which, again, like I said before, I'm fine with her having the Force, especially with them saying everyone has a midichlorian account. But others are more in tune with it than others.
Right.
Just like Obi-Wan said in Star Wars A New Hope, the Force surrounds us all. It binds the galaxy together.
Yep. I mean, that's the definition of it right there.
It's just like when Han Solo, there's no mystical Force controlling my destiny. And then you see Obi-Wan smirk. He is like, you son of a bitch. You
nothing. You can't handle the truth. That's exactly the kind
of movie. But I love that she has her yellow lightsaber, because that is a thing in the Dark Disciple book, is she has a yellow lightsaber. It's not the curved one. It's a different one that she makes. But I'm fine her having the curved hilt, because it's her style. It's the lightsaber we're familiar with.
And it's just one lightsaber, not her two lightsabers she had.
Yeah.
And, I'm really curious to see where they go with it. And I do like how she said, I have a few lives left. Like, is she a cat? Is she?
Is she a cat? I love that. I love that. One of my cats actually stopped and looked and was like, what are you talking about?
Are you saying you want to hear a Asajj meow? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, she has hair now. She's not bad looking. I'm just saying.
Okay.
When she had the cue ball haircut, not so much.
I would argue against that, but that's
fine. All right. That's all you, man.
Gotcha.
You can have bald Ventress. I'll take the haircut.
Ventress. Sean, what are your overall thoughts too about this episode and everything it encompasses? Because I mean, even just the scene with the creature and everything was just so cool, and how Asajj was able to tap in, and everybody's like, "Whoa, okay, maybe she's not as bad as we think she is."
Yeah, I was gonna go right into that, and like Omega was like trying to figure out with all the jellyfish, and then this huge monster comes. I was like, "Oh, did you do that? No, not intentionally."
Yeah.
And then we find out she was actually trying to help.
I do like how she calmed the creature with the Force.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. This is a very different Asajj than we're used to.
I was going to say about Asajj, like just from the get-go, I could tell she had a lot of growth.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like I love that line she says about the Empire House. She's like, I'm not on nobody's side. It's like kind of taking out like Ahsoka was.
Yeah.
Like how she didn't take sides.
Right. Right. And she's like,
she's seen stuff and she knows how much why the Empire wants Omega. Well, yeah. Not why, but like, you know, how
the motivation behind that. That's the reason why she was like, why do you guys want to know the M count? That's the intel I want from this in return is why do you want to know?
Because I feel like at the same time, she's also investigating it.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I think there's a whole.
It could be her and like Quinlan Voss and a few other Jedi that are figuring out what's going on with it. Because her and Quinlan Voss have a thing in the Dark Disciple book.
Do we get a one or two episode, if not just a one episode that takes us back a little bit? Or do we get an episode where she goes off, leaves, and suddenly we see Quinlan or something?
Or it's Tales of the Jedi.
They're going to wait for Tales of the Jedi. Right.
I'd rather have it for the Tales of the Jedi. Since now she, it'd be more important for that than instead of because this is a bad batch.
Have an actual arc through Tales of the Jedi that tells and fills in the gap.
Right? It follows Asajj and Quinlan Voss, Baylan and Shin Hati.
Would love that. That would be incredible.
And we need more Baylan Skull as much as we can, even in animated form. Even though we don't have Ray Stevenson, we still need more Baylan Skull.
R.I.P.
Right. No, I like how they introduced her into it. Very, very well written out.
Yeah. And it leaves a lot of room for us to continue to have discussions, for other podcasts to have discussions, and for us to be prepared that next week, you know, you up it with Asajj here, right? From last week's episode. It's like, okay, where does
Darth Vader.
Well, no, right?
No, honestly, we could see Ahsoka.
I feel like that was as much as I'd love to see Ahsoka, it would all depend on what she's doing at this point. At this point, I think she is still in hiding.
Sure.
They just stumble upon her by her.
Yeah.
Or Asajj stumbles upon her.
That's true. There's something that's developing there. You know, you bring Asajj into the season, not just for this one part, right? For this one episode. There's got to be something else, Sean, that, you know, kind of brings us back in and allows them to expand upon Asajj coming into the Bad Batch story here. I mean, obviously she's like, I have many more lives to live, right? So there's got to be more development.
How many more episodes left of this season?
Well, see, I think there's 15 total, I think they said.
This is episode 9.
Episode 9, yeah. So we have...
Five left?
About five left, yeah. So everything leading up to this next point on a finale, final season, is really important in terms of, you know...
I don't think the end of her in this. I think we'll see her again.
A couple episode breaks here, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like episode 13, 14, or 14, 15, have her at the end.
What do you think we'll see next week, Sean, in terms of an episode? Like, do you think we'll see Vader? Do you think
we'll get some more Omega? I'm looking at the title, and it's called Identity Crisis, which is very interesting.
Ooh, Identity Crisis. I have one of those every single day.
I think it's going to be about her sister or the clone.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I think.
Sean,
what do you think of this episode?
Yeah, what do you think of the episode?
I liked it. I thought the last one where they went with Fennec Shand and did whatever they did, clearly I was paying attention. I thought it was very fillery, but this most recent one was very, very good for me.
I think that there could be a really cool balance here, too. With Fennec Shand coming back in, I mean, it almost seems
it was great to have her there and to see her arc and that she's like doing stuff and that connection to it. But
the mission they did was why
did we have to do that? That took a lot of time. Yeah. It didn't really give anything to the characters themselves.
She's honestly the best part of the episode.
It maybe told a little bit more about Fennec, like the way that she behaves and the way that she acts and the way that she works with people, maybe. But for the most part, for me, it didn't really do much. I got a lot of payoff in the most recent episode. I thought I was glued to the screen the whole time.
And remember, Cad Bane's was becoming. We still haven't seen him.
So do we get Fennec and then Asajj and then Cad in the next episode to kind of fill in that gap? I mean, that's where I kind of head towards, you know. I'm gonna
need your I mean, that you gotta. I mean,
you just gotta. Andrew's back.
I don't know what was being
We were talking about, like, Sean and I were talking about a little bit of what's going on with Asajj this past episode, and then we had Fennec Shan in the last episode. Do we see Cad Bane in the next one to kind of complete the arc of these rogue individuals who are out trying to figure
their Boba Fett?
Well, that's so this is interesting. Mm-hmm. This was brought up in a conversation which you guys will be able to hear that I had with the folks over at Virtual Cantina podcast and the Virtual Cantina crew. It was brought up during the convention specifically. Will we see the Alpha to the Omega? Will we see Boba Fett show up?
Or is Omega the Alpha to Boba Fett? Because technically, wouldn't she be older?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that balance, right? What do we see in the next coming episode? I said to Sean specifically, Andrew, you know, how do you see this playing out for the next episode? What are your thoughts on
well, before I was
going to let Sean,
Andrew, the next episode, it's called Identity Crisis. What do you think of that? Like,
I think it's Omega figuring out that one, she has the Force. Mm-hmm. Two, maybe she finds out what it might be that Palpatine's doing.
Oh, Project Necromancer.
See, I don't think you were here for. I said about her with her sister, like having identity crisis, like go back to her.
Yeah, it's possible because we haven't gone back to Tantus since the start.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on with Amelie yet. Yeah,
yeah, Robin.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely right. I mean, this next episode could play out in like two or three different ways. And I think that that's good. I think that that's what Filoni wants to accomplish kind of mid-season, right? He wants to give us this point where we're like, okay, we could either go this direction with it, or we could just, the Filoni way is saying, no, I'm going to give you nothing but bangers to end this season. Like, I'm going to give you nothing but episodes that are going to connect the canon and kind of put a bow on this final season.
I mean, that's what we all want. It's going to be a filler episode.
Oh, Andrew. I know. I've seen I've seen a few of those comments on X, Twitter. Yeah.
Acolyte's dead on arrival. Star Wars is dead.
The final episode is going to be a filler. We know that.
There's an Asian Jedi Master. There's a Black Witch. There's a other stuff.
Other stuff. I love that. Oh man, I can't wait for next week's episode coming off of this one. I cannot wait to see what happens there. And you know, speaking of you know, maybe doing something else and maybe, you know, heading in a different directions in terms of the conversation here, something that's not filler is what's going to be happening on May the 4th.
It's filler.
stop that. Well, we'll be eating stuff that would be considered filler.
Olive Garden. Family.
Or Diet Coke. I don't know.
You're just gonna eat Diet Coke?
You're gonna eat the whole Diet Coke. Is that what you're saying?
The glass and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I'm gonna say this right now. Prepare for a shout out. Shout out to Sean's metabolism. Down a whole glass with Diet Coke. Big shout out to your metabolism. You know, that takes a lot to
do. Whoa, just take it easy, man.
he's going to bite into the glass at all. Whoa, man, easy, easy, easy.
I don't think I'll do it again. Oh.
Do you want a refill on that?
No, I'm good.
I just think that episode of SpongeBob and with Patrick.
Blood dripping down his throat. I'm fine. I'm doing great.
Patrick, you're full.
Big exciting things happening May the 4th. The New Hampshire crew is coming down to Massachusetts. We're going
once again.
Yeah, once again. I know. And this time we're going to make it a full on thing, which is amazing. May the 4th, New Hampshire crew down to Massachusetts to the Showcase Cinema in Randolph, Massachusetts. Look for the details coming, folks. We're going to see Phantom Menace in theaters all together. at the 6:45 p.m. show.
It's crazy. The last movie we all saw together.
Man, can't wait to see Jar Jar Binks.
Hey, I will take Jar Jar Binks out of somehow Palpatine returned.
This is true. This
is true. What if Jar Jar says that, though?
I don't think they'd do that to us. Which, by the way, we also get an Acolyte teaser before.
Oh, who called that? Me.
Andrew did. Hey, guys, by the way, just so you know, my inside sources are saying.
My inside sources was just actually, my thoughts.
Your inside sources came through, unlike my inside sources.
I called it Mr. the week Politician. Before. I called it the week of.
Sure. Did you?
I think I did.
Oh.
I like mine better.
Because I think we were having an episode on a Sunday.
We're,
and
we're getting the popcorn bucket and the soda cups too, right? Like we're doing.
No, we're just gonna leave them there.
I did watch somebody do that before. Watched somebody go into, what was it? Oh, was it Spider-Man? It was one of them, and it was a really cool popcorn bucket. And I watched him. He was like, "Oh, I think I'm done." He threw it in the trash, and I was like, "No, dude, that's not where that goes."
You hold on.
Sell it on
popcorn,
eBay.
Popcorn buckets. The
popcorn and drink custom ones are Regal. I don't know what Showcase is doing.
I'll be curious. Yeah, to see what Showcase does.
Tusken Raiders heads.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, well, good. They do kind of interfere in the pod race, which I can't wait to hear that in the theater.
Again. Oh, I know the bum, 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 bum.
It's gonna be. I don't think I've seen a Phantom Menace in theaters.
They do.
Hell yeah.
What was the last movie release for Phantom Menace? I swear I saw it in high school.
They did the 3D re-release.
3D re-release. I went to that. Yeah.
But the bad thing is with the 3D re-release, the theater I went to, the sound wasn't that great.
Oh no.
So with Showcase, they have Dolby Atmos.
That's gonna be fantastic.
So
all right, guys, keep your eyes peeled. Is that how that works? No, don't peel your eyes. That's not a good idea. Keep your eyes open across social media, Twitter, Instagram, all those places. We're gonna have all the details.
Also, the time will be what time, Robin?
6:45 p.m. on May the 4th in Randolph, Massachusetts.
Which is also my wife and I's 2-year
anniversary. Hey! That's right. 2 years. My goodness. That's going to be really exciting. It's two dual celebrations there, right?
Yeah.
My cousin's birthday is on May the 4th, so.
Da, 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 which that's actually Palpatine's theme in a higher key.
What was that?
That the end parade theme actually Palpatine's theme in a higher key.
I know, I love that. I'm gonna sit there and I'm just gonna be like, oh wow, oh boy, shit's about to happen.
Although, what's next year?
Attack of the Clones,
the 20 year for Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, I know.
I hope it goes back to theaters.
Guys, if it goes back
they to didn't theaters. Do it for Attack of the Clones. That's
surprising. It should, honestly. I mean, I would love to watch
the Attack of the Clones. Hey, we could do the 22-hour marathon that Showcase is doing.
So, maybe.
You've got work.
I've got work.
I got work.
Could call out.
I could call out.
They don't listen to this podcast, right?
They don't listen to this podcast, so... The Marshalls, they listen to this podcast, right, Sean? They totally do.
A couple of my coworkers listen to us.
My coworkers. I'm like my coworkers.
Hey, that's
got to be at Fan Expo.
So. Shout out to Andrew's coworkers for dealing with Andrew Garish. Shout out to y'all. You're doing amazing work. Wow. Doing amazing work.
Shout out to Gonzo.
Shout out to Gonzo. Hey,
you guys still want me to get your tickets, right?
Well, you guys want to make it May the 4th, or am I going to buy my own tickets too? There was a random nail on the highway on the way down to Massachusetts.
Oops.
I think I'm scheduled to have COVID then.
Oh no, Sean, don't jinx that.
Oh, you mean that fake virus?
Oh jeez. Are you talking about Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
The vaccine denier. Oh my goodness, we could get into that.
I mean, I'm not talking about P. Diddy or Dan Schneider or Brian Pack. or quiet on set. Sorry.
You just listed them all right there for y'all.
Well, if you want to ruin your childhood, watch Quiet on Set, because a lot of the stuff with Nickelodeon is fucked up.
I've heard that that's a must watch for folks who grew up with
it will make you like boiling angry.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Yeah,
not great stuff.
Not good at all.
Just shocked. Yeah. So here's my question to you guys. When do they show the Acolyte preview? Is it before the movie or is it like after?
Are you saying people are going to buy tickets and then peace out after the Acolyte preview?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just asking, what do you think? You think it's got to be like a post-credit scene thing?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Your dog might have some thoughts about that. Sean, what do you think? Do you think it's going to be before or after the Phantom Menace showing?
Before, I guess, for the trailer teaser. I mean, it's a TV trailer. We don't get TV shows in front of movies.
Right. That's true. So. Yeah, no, I think it's going to be before. I think that makes the most sense to just kind of be like, hey, guys, you paid the money to be here to see the Phantom Menace. Here's the teaser and enjoy the Phantom Menace with it. Like, I think that the whole idea is to get folks into the theaters to, again, watch the Phantom Menace in theaters again. But the idea of having the Acolyte trailer, I could understand why they would put it towards the end as well, because it's like you're keeping people in their seats. There's no real post-credit scene associated with the Phantom Menace like there is with Marvel or anything else.
No other shit movie.
Yeah, what's that?
And maybe they're just throwing the bloopers at the end.
Oh, wow. That would be fun, wouldn't it? It's 25 years, right?
Yeah. I mean, if they do that for Revenge of the Sith and you see Hayden Christensen.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, I love that gif. No, not gif. Ewan McGregor doing that.
Yeah, dude, in the speeder. Yeah. No, I think that there's definitely a chance. I think before makes the most sense. It's like anything else that they've done in terms of teasers. You give it before the main thing. But after would be fine. And I would love to see bloopers. You're right. Yeah. I think that would be fun for folks in the theaters at the same time. So. We lost Andrew, though. But it is that time of the show as we wrap up here on episode 56 of the podcast. It's a little thing we like to call.
Should I say it for Andrew's sake?
I guess so. Time. Either that or he's just going to randomly pop in and scream it.
It's butt plug time.
Oh, it's not that. It's not that. It's plug time, I guess you could call it that, something like that. But we'll start over with you, Mr. Sean Michaud. Where can the good people find you across uranium across social media?
Thought you were gonna go for Soldier Boy.
Yeah, oh, there he is. No.
Hey, I said it in your words, okay?
In my honor.
In your honor. Your honor. You guys can follow me on Twitter, Sean Michaud 1, Instagram, @ZoneZ, and follow, friend me on Facebook. I don't know if I'll accept it or not. So,
there we go. Mr. Andrew Garish, Commander Nerd, where can the good people find you across I Had a Stroke on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Commander Nerd, Instagram, Andrew62592, YouTube at Commander Nerd. You can find us at Showcase Cinema for the Phantom Menace on May the 4th.
Ooh, yeah. Very excited. Very excited about that. But and for all the details, your turn. For all the details on where you can find, what time, where it is. By the way, 6:45 p.m. Showcase Cinemas, Randolph, Massachusetts. Mark your calendars now, folks. Mark them now. All those details will be found over on Twitter as we are live there at Real Fandom Talk, over on Instagram at Real Fandom Talk, over on Facebook at Brick City Blockade
Podcast. And at MySpace, at Real Fandom Talk.
MySpace, Real Fandom Talk. Didn't even know MySpace was
still. And you just said Instagram.
Sean's like, which one don't we post on? Which?
I don't know.
Over on our Patreon as well. We'll also put
And Threads.
And Threads. I know, we haven't really done the Threads thing.
And RedTube.
And you guys follow on r/ Brick City Blockade. I don't even get it. We don't have one. We should have one.
We shouldn't have a Reddit.
Shouldn't? Or yeah, shouldn't?
We should not.
No, we shouldn't.
We don't need the Phantom Menace coming into our Reddit.
You guys can also follow me over on Twitter at X underscore Robin W Vote and on Instagram at IG underscore Robin W Vote. But until next time, folks, we will see you very, very soon. I hear those comments, Andrew, and they're probably going to come through the audio version very clearly. Until next time, folks, as we always say here on the podcast, hey, may the force be with you.
Sometimes.
Always.